Let me introduce myself. My name is Pete Sola, and I serve as an elder here. If I have not met you for some reason along the way, just wanted to give you that introduction. So today we're going to go through lesson two on fundamentals of the faith on how to know the Bible. So could I have a reader for us to start our time together? And it's right on your sheet, the key verse. Could I have a reader read the key verse for us? Thank you. So this is a wonderful directive from Paul to Timothy, right? And now for us too, to help us to understand the importance of knowing the scriptures and to accurately handle them. So your first subtitle here is Why Know God's Word? And as I was working through the worksheet here, I circled why. I circled why and I wrote a question mark after to know God's Word. So we're going to answer those questions. We're going to ask those questions right now. We're going to list the reasons that we should know God's Word. So, back to 2 Timothy, right? Let me read that once again. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. So here is a question. Is it possible for someone in the church to inaccurately handle God's Word? Yeah, it sure is. And they will be accountable to God in doing so. And perhaps sometimes, maybe someone is doing it maybe a bit unknowingly, right? They're not trained enough. They've not studied enough. And sometimes they might be doing that on purpose, right? To lead people astray. So keep that in mind to stay on guard and be in God's Word yourself so that you know the truth and can know when somebody may be leading you astray. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. So, to be approved by God is our answer for this blank here in 2 Timothy 2:15. This verse is telling us to be approved by God. And in doing so, we should nourish ourselves on His Word. In our second point here, could I have a reader for 1 Peter 2:2?
Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation.
Thank you. To grow in respect to salvation. To grow in salvation is our answer here. And Peter is saying that we need to grow in salvation. And salvation is not really a one-time event. It's, in addition to salvation, we need sanctification, which is a constant growing in the faith. So at the moment of salvation, we are justified, right? We're justified fully because Christ at his death and resurrection, and then our confession of our sins and our faith in Christ as our salvation, right? That is justifying us. Then once we are saved, we begin to grow in our faith, and we become more sanctified. And that's a constant effort. It's a constant goal of ours to keep working towards that, to keep growing in our salvation. That's what Peter is referring to here. Could I have a reader for our next highlight, Psalm 119:11, our next verse?
I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Thank you. We need to know God's Word as a reminder of things we should be doing and things we should not be doing. So we should be treasuring God's Word, as this verse is telling us, and we should not be sinning against God. So we need that in our hearts first, right? We need that. We need to nourish ourselves on God's Word to know it, and we're going to treasure it, and then it will help us and prevent us from sinning against Him. So our answer there is to not sin against God. Moving on to point four here, could somebody read Psalm 119:11? Oh, I'm sorry, 119:38.
Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared.
Yes, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence in you. Our answer in this line is to provide reverence for God. So the more time that we are in God's Word, the greater our knowledge becomes and our understanding becomes of God. We will revere Him more. We will fear Him more. We will adore Him more. We're going to know Him more, right? Our intimacy level with Him is going to be greater. And we need to be in God's Word in order for that to happen. So we need it to produce reverence for God. That's a reason for knowing God's Word. Could somebody read Psalm 119, 105, please?
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Thank you. We need His word as our guide as well. All these things are true, right? All these reasons here, these five reasons. This fifth reason, we need to know His word as our guide, right? This world is dark. There's so many pitfalls all around us. And Scripture is our light path. Right? Is a light to our path. In John 5:39, that says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." It's pointing us. It's pointing us in the right direction towards God, towards Christ. All of this is testifying to Christ as we're reading through the Scriptures. We need to know God's Word, and we need to know Christ better. And we would be in His Word to find that out. Page change for me here. So now we talked about why, right? We circled why and we put a question mark behind it. So why do we know God's Word? So now let's talk about how to know God's Word. And under this, you could circle the how to know God's Word, and put a period after it, how to know God's Word. This is how we're going to do it. And we're going to go through these 6 points right here. Could somebody start by reading from the sheet here, Romans 10:17.
So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ.
Thank you. There are many ways available to us to hear God's word today. But sadly, many Christians are really illiterate when it comes to knowing God's word. You maybe have been one at a time. You maybe know one who would claim to be a Christian and seem to not know God's word very well at all. So obviously it is recommended that you attend a Bible preaching church such as this one you find yourself in this morning. And if you're not a regular attender here and you're here for today only, please work towards finding a Bible preaching church. We obviously at this church place a high emphasis on the reading of God's word. Right? We're reading God's Word together. We're in Bible study together. During the service, we're reading His Word. We put a high importance on that, on knowing God's Word. We put a high importance on preaching God's Word and preaching His Word to you on a weekly basis, and that's very important. We're not into the latest trends. We're not into the opinions of the culture, right? We are into God's Word, and we want to hear from Him on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, whenever you find yourself in this space together as a church, we want you to hear that. So church attendance is vital, right? That's going to be key, right, in the hearing it, okay? Point number one, hearing it. And so along with that, there probably are some other methods as well. There are some sound things that are maybe on the radio and maybe in a podcast, things like that. Sometimes pastor mentions some of those things or some of those places where you can find things like that through a sermon or otherwise. But use discernment because not all of those things are sound in their doctrine and not all of those things are placing God's word at the highest level. So if you have any questions about that, let us know. Let's move on to point two here. In addition to hearing God's word, we need to read it, right? Could somebody read Revelation 1:3 for me?
Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near.
All right, thank you. Read it. So we hear it, right? And you're in God's church. We're in church together. We are hearing it. But we also need to read it. And we need to spend time in His Word as this Revelation 1:3 is referencing. We need to read it often. We need to read it daily. Here at Faith Bible, we encourage a Bible reading plan and suggest that you adopt something if you're having trouble finding ways to read the Bible. We suggest you adopt the current plan for this year, right? Is reading some chapters from the Old Testament combined with some chapters from the New Testament, and you get a mix of both during the course of your day. Last year, we read through it chronologically, which started Genesis and Job and worked its way through, and it was the timeline of the Bible. And so those are options for you in reading it. And you could also just pick a book. You could pick a book and read through it. I've heard of people who read through one book over the course of a month. So pick a book. Maybe it's a gospel, and maybe it takes five or six or eight chapters a day, and you could read it through over the course of a day or two, three, four, five, whatever it takes, and then start it again. And over the course of the month, read that book through multiple times during that month. And then next month comes, October starts, pick a different book and read through that book. Might be a shorter book, might be an epistle or something like that. So you maybe could read the entire book, or maybe two, and read that through every day, all month long. And soon you'll have gotten through, I think in just a few short months, you get through the entire New Testament, right? But you would really increase your reading if you found some ways to do it that maybe you're not currently following. So it's just some suggestions there as a course to follow. Let's move on to point number three. We need to hear it. We need to hear God's word. We need to read God's word. And point three, we need to study God's word. Could somebody read our verse listed here, Acts 17:11, please?
They were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
Thank you. Study it. So this lesson, how to know the Bible, we're going to talk through a Bible study process. All right, so we're going to talk a little more about this in a minute. But this reference here in Acts is referencing the Bereans, right? And so they were more noble-minded, and the Bereans examined the scriptures daily. And if you know anything about examining, that's not just simply the reading. That's taking it more in depth to examine it and study it. They're such a good example to us. And like I mentioned, we'll talk about the Bible study process here in a few more minutes when we turn the page. So we need to study it. Point number four, we also need to memorize it. Could somebody read our verse here? Psalm 119:11. I think we already read that, but could somebody read that one again? There's treasure again, once again, and pointing out our sin. And so treasuring God's word, memorizing God's word, puts that first and foremost into our mind and into our heart. And it helps us to flee from evil, helps us to flee from sin, and puts ourselves centered on God. I encourage you to find time to memorize Scripture. Certainly our young people memorize that weekly. As an adult, sometimes some people find that harder. Let me offer, if you're someone who has a time that's difficult, it's difficult for you to memorize Scripture, let's start this week. If you have an opportunity, you now have this worksheet on the front page, the key verse right up there, 2 Timothy 2:15. During the course of this study over the next few months, this fall, each week you're going to receive one of these worksheets, and you could work on this very verse. Right here. You could choose your own verse, of course, but I'm just offering an option, a simple way for you to get started. If you would desire to memorize Scripture, you could start with 2 Timothy 2:15. Work on that over the course of the week, and next week when we return for our next lesson, you could have a new verse. We really need God's Word in our heart. It's going to shape us. It's going to mold us. It's going to help us to flee from sin. I encourage you to do that. It's also going to help you to share the gospel more effectively, to have that on the tip of your tongue, to have that at the ready, right? Those verses that you memorized. at the ready for you to share about the love of Christ, about the work that he did on the cross, about our sin, and about salvation. All those things that can be at the ready for us to be able to share with those that we encounter when witnessing to them and sharing the gospel with them. So we should memorize it. Point number 5, we should also meditate on it. Could somebody read our next scripture, Psalm 1, verse 2?
Put his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Thank you. Yes, so you may ask, so now we're talking about meditating, right? And that's a word that's kind of loaded, right, in our modern culture. So you may ask, what's the difference between studying God's word and meditating on God's word? Well, studying gives us knowledge, right? We're going to spend time in his word. We're going to dig deeper in there. We're going to learn truths. Yes, for sure. And if we're just simply doing it for that and not taking that to heart or not applying that to our lives, you know, it becomes knowledge that we have, but we may not act on it. So meditation is going to put it deeper into our heart. And the kind of meditation we're talking about here is biblical meditation, not the void your mind of all thought kind of meditation that some Eastern religions and thinkings are promoting. This biblical meditation has a specific focus on the Word of God. So let's look back at this verse one more time. But let's add into it verse 1. So where are we at here? We're in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Psalm 1, 1. How blessed is the man, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now verse 2, which we just read before this. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So this blessed person in Psalm chapter 1, the beginning of Psalms, right? The blessed person is meditating on God's word by day and by night. So it's not merely hearing it, as we started to talk through on knowing God's word. It's not merely reading it. It's not merely studying it. It's those things and more, right? It's those things plus. It's also memorizing it, right? But it's taking God's word deeper into our heart. Praying for understanding and application in our life and how his word can influence us and how we then can impact others. We are wanting to conform our lives to God's will for us. An example would be to take a passage of Scripture and repeat it, emphasizing a different word in the passage each time. And in my preparation for this, I forget now the reference, I apologize for that, but they chose a passage of Scripture and read through it and then emphasized a different word as they were working through their way through Scripture. The first time, read it through, emphasizing the first word. And the second time, read it through and emphasize the second word. And the next time through, read it through. Again, you're putting God's word deep into your mind and your heart, right? And now you're seeing some deeper meaning and you're gaining some deeper understanding of what God is trying to teach you and tell you through his word. Number 6, we should obey it. Could somebody read James chapter 1, verse 22? It's on our sheet here.
But bring yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who believe themselves.
Thank you. Doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. So, all right, as we've worked our way through it here from 1 to 6, right, they're kind of building on each other, right? And so hearing is good, reading is better, right? It's hearing and reading it and doing more. So now we're working our way down to obey it. And James is saying here, but prove yourself to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. We need to act. So as we've studied it and we've memorized it and we've meditated on it, now we need to do it. We need to follow God's word. We need to act on it. That outflow of a changed heart is obedience to God, and we want to obey him, and we want to live out His word. Let's go ahead and flip over to page 2. The Bible study process. So I mentioned we're going to get to this. This is like digging a little deeper into point 3 here, partly digging into point 3. So when it comes to studying the Bible, there is kind of a formal way to study the Bible, and it's called hermeneutics. You probably heard that reference before. So the object in hermeneutics is to allow the text to speak rather than just reading into the text with things that we might think or feel, right? So hermeneutics considers God's word, considers the historical nature, considers the grammatical language, considers the cultural nature at the time and the context of the passage that we are studying. So in order to understand what the original writer meant, we need to have that in mind when we're using hermeneutics. So let's take a look at the Bible study process. And our first point, number 1, is preparation. So what should we do? Question number 1 here, what should we do before we approach the scriptures? 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. And we read, I think, 1 Peter 2, 2, right? But can somebody in their Bible find 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2? All right, thank you. So our question, what should we do before we approach the scriptures? So this reference now had verses 1 and 2. So in that first verse, right, we should be putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. We need to confess our sin. We need to put away our sin. We need to confess to the Lord before we approach the scriptures. I've had this happen. Right, where you're going to go into God's Word and spend some time studying His Word, and I haven't prayed beforehand, it seems like you're floundering, right? It's not making sense. Have you been there? I've had that happen. So our encouragement here and our directive from God's Word here would be to confess sin, put that aside, and then take time to get into God's Word. And the benefits of it are going to be much greater for you. And without it, you may not have any benefits, to be honest. So I think we underestimate this, right? I think we underestimate that. Let's move on. So the first answer there is we must confess our sins. That's what we're looking for. And in point B here of preparation, let's read Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And in this, we're trying to ask, what should we pray for as we prepare to study God's Word? What specifically? So we've confessed our sin right now. What should we be preparing for? Could somebody read Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10?
For this reason also, since the day we have heard, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and multiplying the full knowledge of God.
All right, thank you. Yes, there's obviously a lot, right, in these two verses. What we're looking for when we ask this specific question of in this verse, in these verses, is what should we pray for as we prepare to study God's Word? And we should pray for wisdom and understanding, right? We see that in here at the end of verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That should be our prayer when we're in God's Word, when we're studying God's Word. We should confess sin. We should pray for wisdom and understanding as we are seeking this, His truth in the Scriptures. All right, let's move on to number 2 in the Bible study process, observation. So this is now getting a little deeper into it, right? We prepared ourselves in the Bible study process. And now, what do we do next? So, we need to make some observations. So, here's what we need to look for, right? Here's some points. They're on your sheet there. So, we need to look for key words. We need to look for key subjects. We need to look for commands that God might be giving to us. We need to look for warnings that might be coming. We need to look for repeated words or phrases, things that are in Scripture that are repeated over and over and over again, right? Might be in one verse, might be in a passage or something. We need to look for questions that might be in there, and answers might be given right there to your question. And we need to look for anything unusual or unexpected. So let's take a look at a passage, and let's try to look and see if we can figure out what the subject is. Could I have somebody read, and this is a longer passage of Scripture, could somebody read Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20, and what we're looking for is the key subject of this passage. All right, thank you. So what is the subject of this passage of Scripture? Anyone? He. And he is referring to, who is he referring to here in this case? To Jesus. It's referring to Christ, right? So look at all the language in here. And so in the Bible study process, right, as you start to look at these things, so in this passage in particular, you'd recognize all this is about Christ, right? He is the image. By him, through him, for him, he is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is also head of the body. He is the beginning. He himself, for the fullness to dwell in him and through him, to him, his cross, through him. But this is just one passage, right, with one thing. We could look further even into this passage for some other things. But as you're studying God's Word, if you use this template or these Bible study tips and methods, you'll be able to dig deeper into the subject. You'll be able to glean more out of it. Encourage you to do that the next time that you're in God's Word to study. So our next step in the Bible study process is now the interpretation. Bottom of your page 2 here, interpretation. So we ask the question, what does it mean? Now we've read it, we've started to ask some of these questions on the keywords and key subjects and commands, things like that. We've asked those things. We're laying it out, right? And now we need to ask the question of interpretation. What does this mean that we're talking about here? What is the author referring to? And we need to remember to keep the Scriptures in its context, right? In who it was written to, and then we can find out how to interpret that and how to apply that. And we need to seek God for help. In point C here, whom has God given us to teach us? Does somebody have 1 John 2:27? 1 John 2:27. Thank you. This is referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right, is teaching us. As we're in His Word, the Holy Spirit is teaching us and illuminating us. Now that doesn't mean we don't still need, right, to be in church and be with pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11 says He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. But the Holy Spirit illuminates our mind to understand His Word. And then He certainly uses preachers and teachers to help. Acts 2:42 says they are continually, right, these early apostles of the early church, right, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. So that early church, right, has that model for us on how how a church should be taught, how a church should function together, how a church is worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord and serving each other within our community, right? We should be devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Let's move on to point D here now, the Bible study tools that are available to us, right? There are a lot of them now, right, with modern conveniences that we have. So the first point here is other passage of Scripture. So Scripture informs Scripture, right? If you have a question about something, you can continue to search God's Word, and it's likely you're going to find, right? You're going to find what backs that up. And so I encourage you to look at other passages of Scripture. And how can you do that, right? If you know God's Word so well, maybe you just can do that, right? I need to know it more. I want to know it more. But there's some helps. So one might be point two here, concordances. So you might have a Bible that has a concordance in the back. I know at home we've got a couple of giant thick books, right? Strong's exhaustive concordance, Young's exhaustive concordance, right? Now much of that is available to you at the tip of your fingers on your phone. You could look something up, right? Encourage you to either get yourself a couple of those thick books to do that as you're working through a passage and you want to see some cross-referencing and see other areas in the Bible that God is teaching about this same subject matter or the same word might be. So I encourage you to do that. I use a Bible app that I can click on the verse, and then as I highlight it, it'll show it to me other cross-references. So in my study time, I might have my own translation, and I might have another translation. I might have a concordance. I might have this app that's given me some links to some other verses, maybe for more quick reference. It even has it in Greek. I don't know Greek, but I can highlight on it and hold on it, and it'll show it to me in Greek. So I can tell you what that app is if you want to know it later. But so that's another tool, all those concordances. And again, your Bible might have something in the back. Bible maps. Your Bible probably also has that too, right? I think we have at home, I think we have a Bible atlas that has even some further detail of the time there of the writings of Scripture. Study Bible. That's another good Bible study help. In studying, I actually try not to go right to my Bible, my study Bible. I try to search through the Scriptures first. So in preparation for something, I try to search through the Scriptures first, and then eventually I may then reference some of the helps that might be in my study Bible. But I'm trying to want to dig and study for that. And commentaries. Finally, commentaries is the last point here. And they're helpful as well. As long as you're discerning on the author of the commentary, and they can help you point you in the right direction and give you wisdom and understanding there too, and just some of their thinking. But again, same thing. I work through the Scripture first, and then maybe finish with looking at a commentary to see if I can glean a little more information out of it. But certainly, those are all Bible study tools to help you. But first and foremost, it's God's Word. It's the Bible that we need to study. These other things can help support that along the way. Let's go to our final page here, and let's talk about our fourth point, application. So now we're studying it, we know it a little bit more, we've gained a lot out of the information here, right? We now need to apply it. And so we ask the question, how does it work? Or what effect does this have on my life now that I've learned this information? So once we have heard the Word of God, what should our response be? James 1:22, it's on that front page if somebody can read that. Under 6, obey it. If somebody could read that, James 1:22.
Prove yourselves to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who believe themselves.
Thank you. So that passage, once again, is referencing now, we shouldn't just hear God's Word, not merely hearing it. We should be doing what God's Word says. So now that we've taken the time to study His Word, don't just study it for knowledge's sake. Study it so that we can apply it. Study it so that we can apply it to our life, so that we can grow deeper in our faith with Him. And again, spread that to our families. spread that to our world as we become more learned in that. Our fifth and final step here in the Bible study process is repetition. So we need to keep on studying God's Word. You could even keep on studying the same passage, right? You studied it through and you came to some conclusions and you came to some application. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't study that again in depth in a month or a year or whenever it might be. Keep on studying God's Word. Continue to grow in your knowledge of the Word and dive deeper into each passage as you go. Don't just think that because you have studied a passage once that you've discovered all the truths in the passage, right? That's point B. Next time there could be something more for you. There could be something more that God is trying to teach you and work on in your life. And if you continue to read God's Word, you'll be able to find that. Point C, we must continually be reminded of the truths of God's Word so that we might live a holy life. And that is really key, right? We need to be continually reminded of God's truths, right? We need to continually saturate our minds with God's Word. And there are so many entrapments and snares that befall us each day that we need to stay in His Word in order to be focused on Him and fleeing from sin. So the last point there is I encourage you to continue to read God's Word. Before we go through our application here, let's go back one more time and look at our key verse for today. So now we've talked about this a little bit further, and let me read at the top of our page here, our key verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And I trust that this teaching has helped you with some tips and understanding on how you can do that. We can each be a student of God's Word, and we do need to be diligent, and we need to be approved by God, and we need to work at it. And it doesn't just come with no work involved. We need to work at it so that we're accurately handling the Word of truth to His glory. Let's look at these application questions at the end here. So self-examination, the question is, how are you investing the 168 hours that you have each week? Right? That's a guilty question, right? How am I investing my 168 hours that I have each week? We all have it. Am I diligently studying God's Word? There's a lot of other aspects of life that I need to work on too. But when it comes to God's Word, how are you doing? And that's a personal question that you'll have to answer in your heart. But are you finding time to study God's Word each day? Are you finding in the 24 hours of the day? Are you finding time in each week, 168 hours of the week, to study God's Word in your week? Are you actively finding ways to hear it? Are you hearing it? Are you in church to hear the preaching of God's Word, the reading of God's Word? Are you reading it on your own, in your own plan? Are you studying it, diving deeper into God's Word? Are you memorizing it? I gave you an idea, perhaps you may start this week, right? If you're not already doing so, grab that key verse. Work on that for memory this week. Are you meditating on God's Word? Finding a way to take that deeper into your heart to apply it. And finally, are you obeying it? Are you hearing it all? And are you now implementing that into your life and letting that outflow come out of you and giving that back to the Lord? So what priority does God's Word have in your life? And that's an extension off the 168 hours in a week question, right? Look at your 168 hours and where are the hours being spent? And you'll find your priority. So it's a personal question once again, so I would just encourage all of us, right, to look at that and look at what we're doing and find a way to put God's Word as a priority in our life. And the final question here, should you make changes to make God's Word more of a priority? And these are all kind of building on each other here, of course, but if a change needs to be made, encourage you to have the courage to do so, to make a decision in your life that you can put God's word at a higher priority. And for those of you who are here on a Sunday and a Wednesday, right, you're starting that step. But now in your personal life, I encourage you to do that more so, and to dive deeper into God's word. Well, thank you for coming today. A rich time in God's word with how to know the Bible. Come back next week as we continue to work through our way with fundamentals of the faith. And hope this worked here to have this change of venue here into this room. But it works a little better with how this has grown so much. So let me close our time in prayer. Father, thank you that we've had some time to study your truths here. We've had some time to work through this lesson, and it's led us into your word. And in it, you've revealed to us your desire for us to be grounded in your word, for us to hear your word on a daily and weekly basis, for us to read it, and for all the ways that we need to study it and apply it and memorize it and obey it. And all these things, Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives to, for us to turn ourselves away from our own thinking and our own desires and turn them onto you, to get into your word and to know it more. We're excited for this new truths that we've learned today. Pray that we can apply that in our lives. We pray for the rest of our morning, for the preaching of your word and for the reading of your word and for our time together as your body, Lord. We're thankful for this church. Pray that you continue to bless it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.